Thank you so much for coming on such a rainy day. I really appreciate all of your efforts to come out. I just wanted to let you guys know I'm going to be doing a very different format from what I normally do with my work. Normally I just play short solo pieces and I don't say anything and I don't explain anything, and I find that, well, I was in LA last week performing for a festival for CalArts, and my brother was there, and he asked me why I didn't have a question and answer afterwards, and I decided to take his advice or his opinion and try to apply it here tonight and see what happens. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to explain, the first half of this performance will be pretty much a retrospective of my vinyl sound sources that I've used since I started working in avant turntablism in 2003. And so I have a collection of vinyl sound sources that I've retired, some that I've brought back, and some that are new. And I've chosen four of my favorites that I've used from the past 7 years, almost eight, that I would like to kind of bring to light tonight and introduce everyone to. So first, I'm going to use, this is kind of my exercise record that I use, and it's probably my most favorite because it's a little too easy. So on days that I'm performing and I just don't feel very, very with it in my brain, I kind of play this just to kind of get me started to let go and to try to be present when creating my sound pieces. And it's a record called The Groupies that was recorded, I think, around 1968. And it's pretty much this producer asked four groupies, girls that would follow bands in the 60s, and he put them in a studio and recorded them talking about what it was like to be a groupie. And and there's even on the jacket, there's even a vocabulary of their slang, because I don't want to say it's outdated slang. I think it's actually very interesting. So this first piece I'll do will be kind of an exercise just to kind of get me started. And if anyone has any questions afterwards, please feel free to raise your hand and I'd love to answer them. Also, when I was in December, I was in Berlin and I taught a workshop. And so this is kind of the format that I'm using for tonight. Is I kind of would tell people an idea of a piece, and then I would perform it, and then I would sit back down and we would discuss it, and so that people could kind of better understand my approach and what my ideas were and why I decided, you know, to make each piece. So that's kind of the backstory, also, along with my brother saying, you need a question and answer. I was like, all right, well, I'll do it workshop style. So I'll play this one, I'll pause. If anyone has any questions, great. If not, no worries, I'll go on to the next. And I really do appreciate you guys coming. Thank you so much.
Any cute boy I see, I'll make piggies with them. Of course you will. She's young.
So if that makes me a groupie, then I'm a groupie.
Any cute boy I see, I'll make piggies with them.
Of course you will.
She's young.
So if that makes me a groupie, then I'm a groupie.
Of course you will.
Any cute.
We're running. Well, I'm not planning to get married for months with them.
Of course you will.
Everyone's always over the house. You know, eating, sleeping over, whatever. That's the only way they can hold
Having their laundry done.
Yeah.
And they were gooey for the night, and then we kicked them out the next morning.
To do them. Spread each other.
You're going to die. You're big damn. You're going to lose. It's like all the days there. Alone. All the bear there. He's with the world. Every time. All the dead. There was a. He's. Someone there. Groups. All Monterey. Monterey. Groups. 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 That girl. It's not with the world. Group with him. All of the world.
Bringing the mic back. I was afraid people were going to see the mic and were going to expect me to sing or something. Does anyone have any questions, or should I move on to the next one? Please feel free to ask.
Do you sing?
Do you want me to sing?
Do you have any groupies?
Oh gosh. I'll tell you later. No, I'm kidding. No, I don't, unfortunately. Okay, so this next piece is an oldie but goodie, I like to call it. This was one of my first records that I ruined when I first started in 2003. I was a house DJ, and I was just getting to learn my vocabulary, trying to understand, you know, what the heck I was doing, because everything just happened so fast and made so much sense, but didn't at the same time. So on this side, which I never use, which I think is hilarious, I scratched it up on one night. I had just a big raging fit, and I scratched it all up. And then I put some chalk on it and then some super glue just to kind of create some kind of road bumps or whatever. And I used to use it a lot, but now I've realized, as my vocabulary has developed and as my needle vocabulary and just my work in general, I've learned that you don't have to ruin records to get the sounds that you want. And so I kind of keep this around almost in a sense to remind me of the expectations that people have when it comes to what they think noise or whatever it is. When you start off with something, there's so much anticipation and expectation, and I think this is a really great physical representation of that. But one piece that I do enjoy doing, if you notice in the center, I taped electrical tape onto the center of the record, which creates a really great helicopter sound when I use a broken needle. And all of my needles that I have right now, I'm in a rotation of four. One is perfect, one has been broken in half, the other has been broken in half, but is also slightly melted at the tip of it. I wish I could have like a little drawing for you. And then one is completely broken off, so it only receives electroacoustic sounds. When a needle is broken in half, you can still receive, you can still read what's on the vinyl, but it just won't catch the groove, so it won't stay in one place. So it's pretty much a free-for-all. And that's this one right here. I love him. He's been sticking around for a long time. He won't melt down anymore, which is has been interesting. I've been having little conversations with him about that, which I'm a little funny about it. But so I kind of I nicknamed this piece my needle murderer, but I also call it helicopter sounds. And this one's number 79. I've been using this one since about 2004. Thank you. questions? No.
How long do you usually what regulates the time left?
The moment does, like you just I've studied a lot with Pauline Oliveros, and she pretty much has this process called deep listening, and there's one piece she does with four meditations. It's four different pieces where you're pretty much just listening for the moment where there's an end, you know, and you're always open to the idea of an ending. And whenever you hear it, when, you know, the sound gets sucked out or it just feels like that's it, then that's your choice and you that's your final decision, and you make it and you just stop. It's kind of a gut reaction. And I noticed as my work started, that, you know, as time started to pass, my pieces got shorter and shorter with this idea, because, you know, she was like, always be present, but remember in the back of your mind that there's an end. And to, you know, always listen for that ending. It could always happen when you least expect it. And there's a lot of people that I feel that improvise or that make these really long sound pieces that aren't aware of the environment, outside environment around them, and so they're not, their senses, their instincts aren't acute to where the ending could be. And so I feel that my work has really developed into trying to hear where the ending is and just allowing the present moment to be what it is and not judge it, because in the end you're not, when I perform, I feel like I'm not making a piece for it to be good or bad. I'm just allowing whatever choices that the mechanics and the sounds make to be. And so then when if my instinct says now is the time, then I allow it to be. I have moments where I end it and inside I'm like, oh, I really wanted to keep going with it, but that was my choice and I have to stick with that. So it just depends. But it's gotten shorter as time has passed on. Thanks. Does anybody else have any questions? So this next piece is actually a new one, but I've been performing it since, I want to say, early fall of last year. And it's a release from Erstwhile Records. It's group of friends of mine, Margaret Kremmer, I can never say her last name correctly, I'm sorry. It's kind of like their band. They're all a bunch of improvisers, and they decided to get together to make songs, and I just thought it was a brilliant record just to listen to. And then one day, I accidentally, in the middle of making a piece, I accidentally picked it up and started using it and made a piece out of it, and without even really understanding what I was doing. And ever since then, I've been trying to perfect it. When I was on tour all of fall of last year, I was in Europe, and I tried to perform at least once every performance, just to make sure that, you know, I was kind of learning where the sound source existed within, because I never play any other part of this record except for this portion right here, and I'm not really aware of what else is on the record. As I only know of this one part because I'm just obsessed with it. So with this one, I'm going to use my perfect needle. I feel like I'm a cook, and I don't really have a name for it, but I played it for John Abbey, who owns Erstwhile Records, and he really loved it. So that to me was a heads up that I could continue to try to develop it.
looking at us as if me.
Thank you.
pretty self-explanatory, I think. Okay, so for this last one, I'm going to use my perfect needle, and this is actually a piece that I created for a white box gallery that's on Bowery and Broome last summer. It's called Castor and Pollux, and it was an idea that I had, it was derived from the mythical story of Castor and Pollux being born of the same mother, but I believe it was Castor that had a mortal father, and Pollux that the father was Zeus. I always mix them up. And the idea was, I thought I would physically take this idea of having a sibling, and the story is they were, one's father was mortal, the other was not, and when I believe Castor was injured in war and about to die, Pollux begged Zeus, his father, to allow Castor to live. And he said, well, the only way I'll allow him to live is if you lose your mortality, or you lose your immortality. And so they became the constellation, the Gemini constellation in the sky, which in a kind of cheesy way resonates with me because I'm a Gemini. And I hate thinking of astrological signs as actually having any kind of real influence on who you are as a person, but I find there are moments where I do find myself kind of as two people in one body. And so my original piece I did for them, which I'm not going to play tonight because I still need to sand it down, I took two of the same record and I sacrificed one for the other. And then I placed them on top of each other and created a new piece out of two of the same ideas. This one I'm not so happy about because the edges are still very sharp and it's just not the translation. The transitions of sounds just isn't as easy as I wanted it to be. But this record, this just happened last week. I've had this test tone record since, I want to say, 2005. And I used it all the time when it was full, and it was like my favorite record. It's just so easy to use, and I had so much fun with it. And then I felt like, oh, it's getting too easy. You know, it's just so fun. I'm going to retire it for a little bit, and then, you know, if I ever decide to bring it back, then, you know, it's available in my vocabulary to do that. And then when I was on tour in November, I was in Baltimore, and someone just had a huge collection of test tone records and gave me some brand new ones. And I hadn't done test tone pieces in, I want to say, about 2 years, because I was really trying to deprive myself of it and really try to. And it, when I would do it, I wanted to really enjoy it and not just do it for the sake of doing it. So, and then I rediscovered my love of test tone records. And so when I went back to my vocabulary library in my storage space, I found that my most favorite test tone record had broken in the most perfect way. And it was underneath a big stack of very heavy things and just like gave under pressure, and I had no idea, which a lot of my vocabulary, my sound vocabulary, functions that way. I place them in a backpack without their sleeves in order for them to continuously rub up against each other for new scratches to come out of it. So it's always an organic process of when they're invited into my vocabulary and then living within the vocabulary, and then I retire them, and then if I feel like the time is right, I will take them out of retirement and place them back into the rotation. And I just now put this guy from 2005 back in the rotation last week when I was in LA performing, and I was really happy. And so for this piece, this is Castor and Pollux number 10. I've been practicing Castor and Pollux while I was in Europe and here in the States. And so this is the 10th one, and I'm actually really excited about this one.
Thank you. 400. Hundred. 400.100, 50, 5, 30,
So that's the first part. And again, if anyone has any questions, feel free to ask me after the show as well. So now the second half is going to be, these solo pieces, like I said earlier, have been pieces I've been developing for the past 7 to 8 years. I'm not that old. now I'm going to be collaborating with harpist Shelley Bergen. A quick story of how Shelley and I know each other is Shelley performed. I used to have a men's vintage store in Williamsburg called Houndstooth, and Shelley performed. I used to have evening performances at the store, and Shelley performed there, I think the first year I was open. Yeah, 2006, that's when we opened. And we didn't really connect. We were both in different worlds at the time. And then we didn't see each other for a few years. And then in October, like I said, I was on tour. I was on an Eastern European tour and made a stopover in Berlin in October of last year to perform for the International Turntablist Orchestra at the Akademie der Künste there. And while I was there, just kind of hanging out, waiting for the show to happen, Stars Like Fleas, which Shelley performs in as a harp player, was also on tour, and they were in Berlin. And so we ran into each other and reconnected. And then a mutual mentor of ours, Suzanne Fiol, who was the director of Issue Project Room, passed away in October, just a few weeks before we saw each other. And I was invited to perform for Suzanne Fiol's memorial service. And the people that were setting the show up weren't aware that Shelley was in town. They thought she was still on tour, so they didn't book her. And so I said, they gave me 5 minutes, give me two, and we can have three together. And, you know, it's really rare I never played with her. I only saw her play once. It's one of these rare things where you just immediately trust them and know that they'll do what they're meant to do. And so we shared 5 minutes together, and it was incredible. And we have been performing, collaborating ever since. We played the last show at Monkey Town and a show at Issue Project Room again as a duo. And next week, or this coming week, she will be an awesome person, and she's getting ready to... Sorry, I'm embarrassing you. She's getting ready to do a week-long recording session with Anthony Braxton, and I'm very proud of her. Congratulations, Shelley.
Thanks, Maria.
So we're going to start with a song that we've actually kind of created together, and then it's going to go into a new song that we're kind of thinking about, and then it'll be an improvisation, and then we'll find the ending, like Pauline says. Thank you so much for coming. I really appreciate your time. Thanks.
Like in bird, Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming. If you're interested in more information, you can find me on MySpace, /Maria Chavez. I also have a blog. My name looks like me.blogspot.com. And thank you to Roulette, to Jim, to everybody, the Van Leer Fellowship and the New York Community Trust for their encouragement and continued support. I really appreciate it. Thanks so much for coming. Good night.